When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hello, Legion of Audience. This is James. And before we get started today, I wanted to take a second and let you all know about the brand new Who Would Win Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get behind the scenes access like you've never seen before, go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Who Would Win patrons will have access to outtake videos, early info on battles, and even get a vote on characters that we'll use in upcoming episodes. So if you'd like to support me and the show, head to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow, and for as little as $5 a month, you can define yourself as more than just a fan. You'll be an official member of the Legion. Hope to see you there.
On a mostly uninhabited planet in the spiral arm of the galaxy, Link curses the sky once again as a stranger has mistakenly called him Zelda. Passing by on the road without incident, though, Link heads into a dark cave to recover an ancient artifact essential for his mission. It is then that Link sees another person in that same cave, and mistaking them for an enemy, Link fires a blast from his master sword. The would-be enemy quickly dives out of the way and turns around, revealing Luke Skywalker to be that person. Ah, blaster fire, huh? Guess the Empire found me out here once again. And he sparks his lightsaber and prepares for a fight. It's Jedi Master versus Hero of Hyrule. It's Farm Boy versus My Dude. It's Luke Skywalker versus Link. Today on Who Would Win?
And welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between two characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gavsey, and as always, I'm joined by the one and only Ray Stakanis, Legion of Audience, our faithful fan base. I just don't know if you're ready for today's battle. It's going to be that crazy. In one corner, you have Link, iconic hero from the Legend of Zelda video game series, wielding a variety as he, you know, weapons as he battles to save Princess Zelda and protect the Kingdom of Hyrule. And in the other corner, of course, you've got Luke Skywalker, a skilled Jedi Knight from the Star Wars universe, known for his heroic journey from a farm boy on Tatooine to a pivotal figure in the Rebel Alliance. As usual, I did the patented Who Would Win Google test just to see how many times this matchup has been discussed. And I had a feeling, and I was right, this matchup has been discussed so many freaking times on what is called the internet, but it's never come to a clear winner until today, that is. Ray, I gotta know, what are your thoughts in today's matchup?
I know that it is May the 4th week, right? It's May the 4th be with you. When I was a kid, 172 years ago, we didn't have geek culture Star Wars holidays growing up. If you said you like Star Wars, you got a wedgie. And that went into like my 20s. What is even happening with the world? I would argue the world is a considerably better place than it was last millennium. And so what a joy it is to have taken over. And now all the people who refused to talk to me for being too big a nerd in high school, I now see on their Facebook pages how excited they are to wear their Star Wars accoutrement carry a lightsaber through the streets, and I wonder what happened to all of these people. Maybe they were wrong back then. The point I'm trying to make is, Luke, you're going down today. I don't care that it's your day. I don't care that it's your week. I don't care that it's your lifetime. Link has a storied record on the show. He's had a rough time against the Mandalorian, a Star Wars character, but he beat him. He did lose as part of an 8-bit Nintendo All-Stars against the Loop and the Third Gang. Hey, great job repping them by me. I'll just say that. The point I'm trying to make here is, Link, it's actually your day. May the Zelda be with you.
You know, it's so funny. You're right. I do think the world's a better place. We've got this incredible fan base, legion of audience, and you're loving our matches, and we love the fact that you love them. And, you know, speaking of love, I really, really love icon versus icon matchups like this. You're not going to get any bigger. And when you have two icons facing off in the ultimate Who Would Win battle, you need a judge as equally as iconic to oversee a soon-to-be iconic debate in order to make an even more iconic decision for an iconic podcast like Who Would Win. It's going to be iconic is what I'm trying to say. Do we have such a judge? Let's find out. Making another appearance on the Who Would Win show, it's the hardcore icon. It's the human tack board. It's Leroy Patterson. Leroy, welcome back to Who Would Win.
Well, thanks for having me again. I'm a little intimidated here. This is a big matchup, and I just hope I can not get killed over it.
You know, there's no promises for a judge for the Who Would Win show, but you signed the waiver, and here you are, and let's just see what happens. Now, Leroy, you do a lot of great stuff. We talked a little bit about some of it before the show, but tell our fan base, the Legion of Audience, what you've been up to.
Yeah, been busy. We just debuted a movie called The After Dark for Plan 10 Pictures. I'm in it. I play a bouncer named Clubber who likes to flirt and likes to have fun and likes to fight. And I do a lot of all three. So that'll be out on July 9th-ish on Tubi. I also did a short film called Big Brothers. It's got houses on fire and a bunch of big, fat, hairy guys doing funny stuff. And that's a great one that comes out real soon. We're going to start putting out more episodes of Sneak Kings on our YouTube channel. Just look up Sneak Kings with a Z, you know, cool 90s style. And check out the Giphy page, man. I'm making stuff on Giphy all the time.
You know, I got a question for you because, you know, Ray said there's never been a better time to be a connoisseur of geek culture. And I'm like, huh, maybe, I don't know, 12 years ago could have been a little bit better, or maybe 2019. I don't know. Do you agree with this statement? Is now the best time ever to be a fan and a fanatic of geek culture, or has the time already passed, or are we going to get to even better time? What do you think?
No, I think we're in the golden era, man. Like, I feel like not only are, like, the stuff that people are putting out content-wise is amazing. There's so many good movies and adaptations and shows. And on top of that, it's now easier and easier for people to have access to filmmaking equipment and editing gear. And people are putting out the most amazing, even memes. Memes are hilarious in the pop culture world. It's just going to keep getting better is the way I see it. I feel like we're in a golden era that's just going to keep shining brighter and brighter.
I love it. And that's why I think you're the perfect judge for this. Again, we've got an iconic answer from what I think is going to be an iconic judge about a question about geek culture. And now here we go, about to have icon versus icon matchup on an iconic podcast like Who Would Win. I just like saying the word icon. All right, look, we got everything we need to have a great time. Let's get this party started. Ray, do us the honors and announce today's matchup.
Representing Star Wars, the Jedi who can master land speeders in the forest, but botches getting off the freeway, Luke Skywalker. And representing Nintendo, the hero who never met a pot he didn't want to break, Link.
Well done, Ray. Now,
yeah, that's right. I referenced Mark Hamill's car accident.
You're a monster. You are.
He survived it. He's doing pretty well for himself.
He looks so different in Empire Strikes Back than he did in Star Wars. I mean, just slightly. I don't know. All right, well done right now. Before we go any further, let's go over the basics of a Who Would Win match. Now, each debater will make 3 points. Keep in mind that the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with no prior knowledge or prep time allowed. And the debater has to stay within the confines of the character. And when it comes to determining the winner, it's the judge who has the final say and will determine which character has lost based on death, incapacitation, or battlefield removal with no outside interference being allowed. Remember, you can always check out all the rules on our website at www.whowouldwinshow.tv. And before we get started, don't forget to visit the official Who Would Win store. Visit www.whowouldwinstore.com to get your hands on some great Who Would Win shirts and merch. And furthermore, stay tuned for some huge announcements for a whole brand new line of Who Would Win merchandise like no one's ever seen before. It's going to be fantastic.
This is the first I'm hearing about it. Tell me more, James.
It's with our partners, Sayward. Benny Trelongo, who's owner of Sayward in Milwaukee, was a judge on last week's episode. And he and the Who Would Win team have been collaborating to create some incredible merchandise. That'll be some clothing. That'll be some stuff you can use with some collectibles. Stay tuned. It'll be absolutely incredible.
Oh, it turns out I have heard about that. Tell me no more.
Fair enough. And now, let's get to the tail of the tape for both of our combatants. Ray, please give us the details for Link.
Link is the main protagonist of the Legend of Zelda series of games. He was created by Shigeru Miyamoto and first appeared in The Legend of Zelda for the Nintendo Entertainment System back in 1986. Link is a character firmly embedded in the land he lives on, Hyrule. As the prophecies declare, there will be a Princess Zelda, a villain Ganon, and a hero Link who will ultimately defeat Ganon, save Zelda, and Hyrule. So in the world of laws, trying that out here, laws, does that work? Link will always be reborn when the world is at stake to save it from darkness. Link carries an array of weapons and gear, and no matter what iteration of the character is being referenced, much of what makes him Link stays the same, thus leading me to use a almost composite version of the video game character today. I'm gonna leave out some outliers like the playing the music to turn back time. That was really kind of a one game deal. And I'm gonna keep it in the general sense of Link. Fun fact, the design for Link originally was fully based on a famous Disney character. Okay, I know what you're thinking. Link doesn't look anything like the Aristocats. And you would be right. However, when designing Link, Miyamoto wanted a very iconic first look to make him as recognizable as Mario. So he based Link entirely on, come on now, it's Peter Pan. Yes, it makes sense when you break it down. Green cloak, green hat, fairy companion. But later iterations made Link blonde instead of brown-haired because, you know, originality. So next time you see Link slashing underbrush, think to yourself really hard, I do believe in fairies. I do believe in fairies. I do believe in fairies. And that is Link.
Quick question. Do you believe in fairies?
I do when I'm cutting underbrush and I'm hoping to spawn one.
I don't want to see the video of you spawning a fairy. I'm sure congratulations will be in order shortly. All right. Well done, Ray. Now here are the details for Luke Skywalker. Created by George Lucas, Luke Skywalker first appeared in the iconic film Star Wars, A New Hope, way back in 1977. Luke Skywalker was just your typical farm boy from a planet with two sons who dreamed of exploring the galaxy. Little did Luke realize that far beyond just exploring it, he would one day save it. Swept up in an adventure to stop the evil Galactic Empire, Luke discovered that he was the son of a powerful Jedi Knight. Wielding his father's lightsaber and soon learning to use the mystical force to enhance his senses and physicality, as well as move objects with his mind, Luke became a powerful Jedi in his own right. After destroying the Death Star, redeeming his father in kind of smashing around, and defeating the Emperor, Luke sought to restore the Jedi Order to its former glory. And here's an interesting fact about The Last Jedi, because you know I'm such a big fan. Did you know that the true villain of that great sci-fi film but horrible Star Wars movie wasn't Kylo Ren or Snoke, but was actually someone else revealed by Mark Hamill? It's true. Now, it's no surprise that Mark Hamill did not like the storyline of the sequels, nor the iconic character of Luke Skywalker as he was portrayed in those sequels as well. Hamill's reasoning was that Rian Johnson's take went against what a Jedi should stand for. The actor didn't believe Luke would give up after the destruction of his Jedi Academy. I said to Rian, Jedis don't give up, Hamill said in an interview back in 2017. He continues, I mean, even if he had a problem, he would maybe take a year to try and regroup, but if he made a mistake, he would try and right that wrong. So right there, we had a fundamental difference in this character. So this all goes to show a couple of things. Mark Hamill understands the character of Luke Skywalker on a deeper level than anyone else and what Star Wars is really all about, and even more shocking, that the true villain of The Last Jedi is revealed by Mark Hamill, and that person was Rian Johnson. Look, in all seriousness, Rian Johnson is a great director, except when it comes to Star Wars movies. You should go watch his stuff, except for the Star Wars movies, and he will continue to have a great career as long as he stays the hell away from Star Wars. Yeah, I said it. That's how I feel, and I'm not dropping it. I don't care. And now you have the facts on both opponents. Leroy, do you have any questions before we get started?
No, I think you've laid it out very well. Both are very iconic characters, both very strong. I am currently in the middle right now. I think it could go either way depending on how you guys work this. I did have one question though. Do you like the Rian Johnson Star Wars movie?
You know, it's funny. I actually had to watch The Last Jedi twice just to make sure I wasn't jumping the gun and maybe I missed something, because I thought, how could this be? How could they just get it so wrong? By the way, it's an amazing sci-fi story. Cinematography is fantastic. I mean, just absolutely crazy. CGI, amazing. Story, just wow, what a swing and a miss on so many different levels. And yeah, that's Rian Johnson should stay the hell away from Star Wars. By the way, what an amazing director, super talented filmmaker, except when it comes to Star Wars.
Knives Out is great.
Glass Onion, also fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, he's talented. And, you know, for every 10 movies that are super successful, it's okay if you have one that doesn't do well, except if it's Star Wars.
You know what else is really good? Last Jedi. He did a really good job with that one.
Oh my God. He did a great job of destroying Star Wars. I'm still not over it. I'm sorry. I'm trying to be convinced. Anyway, Leroy, that's great. Ray, we got to get this going. Hit us with your point number one.
Point number one for Link. I'm going to talk about some of his skill, because he's a very skilled individual. He does a lot of different things to a very high level. Let's face facts. He can run all the way from one end of Hyrule to the other without getting tired. I've never seen him just suddenly conk out. I have to walk down to the post office and I feel like I need a 2-hour nap immediately afterwards, but not Link. He can just go and he can jump and climb. He can swim and even hang glide when he needs to. What an amazing physical specimen Link is. I know that Luke has done some wonderful physical things as well, but I would argue as far as stamina and durability goes that Link's just built from a little bit different cloth. He only seems to need to sleep, in fact, when the plot demands it. You can go all the way around nighttime to daytime to nighttime to daytime, and it isn't until a plot scene or a cut scene that he finally gets in bed and takes a nap. This guy can go. Also, we've seen Link many times fall from great heights. How many times have you been playing a Legend of Zelda game, a pit opens underneath you, Link drops like 4-5 stories or more, and then he just gets up at the bottom and goes, oh man, where am I now? Better keep adventuring. And it's that type of chipper attitude when things are going wrong that allows him the drive to defeat Ganon over and over again. In fact, if he gets hurt, let's face it, if Luke gets hurt, he's down. Darth Vader cut his hand off, believe it or not, and he was out after that. He literally noped himself off of a Cloud City space station afterwards. But if Link gets hurt, all he's got to do is grab a potion out of his satchel and just drink it or pour it over himself or however the physics work in Legend of Zelda, and he can recover his health and he can recover himself. So Link has healing. Luke does not. Also, he's a little bit faster than you would think. One time he dodged a possession attempt. I don't know how that even works, but somebody tried to use mind powers to possess him, and he's like, can't do it, because I'm over here now. Ha ha! That is a level of speed I've never even heard of before. Also, the skill stuff. He's got Robin Hood's skill with the bow and arrow. He once shot an arrow out of the air with just another arrow. Not since Kevin Costner, using a Chicago accent in Sherwood Forest, have I seen that done. Phenomenal. And later iterations show him as a master of combat, swinging the sword to great degree. In fact, he also has recently mastered the Dark Souls roll, in that he can roll and avoid damage, get behind people, and stab them from behind. Great move. Heck, he once walked a tightrope while carrying two other people on his head. I've never seen Luke Skywalker do anything remotely similar to that. This guy is a trained circus performer. He's so great at natural fighting, but also trained up to do it. He was beating adults in swordplay when he was 4 years old. When I was 4 years old, I was barely winning games of Candyland, and that's because I was cheating. But thankfully, the adults let me win because I have a very bad attitude when I lose. The point I'm trying to make here is he also has the ability to see ghosts that other people can't see. If there's a ghost in the room, you know, Force ghosts. Don't try any of that Luke becomes a Force ghost Brent Pope nonsense today, James, because Link will be able to see it coming and take him out. And the last thing was sort of a one-off, but I thought it was cool. When the timing is right, he could transform himself into a wolf and run around as a wolf. I don't know if it helps him here. I just thought it was cool and wanted to insert it. At the end of the day, I think Link is generally better trained in a variety of things and has a better endurance than Luke Skywalker. And that will matter in this battle, and that's my point number one.
All right, this is interesting because you've got a character like, Luke Skywalker, who's, got the Force and what have you, and it's sci-fi, and, it's kind of this magical thing around him versus a character like Link, who's got what's the right term, video game physics. So it's kind of like, where do they meet in the middle, or does one kind of go over to the other side? We'll let the judge kind of figure that out. Now, you talked about Luke Skywalker having his hand cut off. You got to remember, he was an inexperienced, user of the Force, not that experienced with a lightsaber. So in their next encounter, what did he do to Darth Vader, arguably the greatest lightsaber duelist of that time? He beat him and cut off his hand, because why not? And by the way, Luke Skywalker's only gotten way better and way more skilled, as we saw in that epic episode of the end of season two of The Mandalorian. Look, in terms of healing, it's interesting what Link can do, but Luke can also, according to the comic books, which are also canon, heal himself to a degree. Of course, it's not a Deadpool or Wolverine healing factor, but he can heal himself and kind of use the Force to allow himself to kind of operate even when he is hurt. That's a factor. And, by the way, we're talking about when I was four, I was wrestling bears in the wilderness of Canada, killing moose, because that's what we did. So I think I understand the badassery of Link when he was a kid all the way to adulthood. Okay, let me get to my point number one. And for my point number one, let's chat about the Force and Luke Skywalker, shall we? So obviously, Luke's one of the most powerful Force users around. He's got a deeper connection to it. Both Obi-Wan Kenobi and Darth Maul saw him as the one who would unify the Force, which is a big deal. So what can Luke do with the Force? Well, for starters, he can use a Force, lift to put someone up in the air. We see him do it and, just throw him wherever he wants, or pin him in the air, or pin him to something else, or kind of put him on the ground. And he can do this from a distance. This is the key. He's got these crazy ranged attacks. On top of that, in the Star Wars comic book series, and again, this is part of the Star Wars continuity after Disney bought Star Wars, Luke uses the Force to stop a large ship from actually going into orbit. There's another reference where he stops something from going to hyperspace. I believe that's before Disney bought him, so I can't put it in there. Let's just say he's strong enough to prevent a massive ship from taking off. And if he can do that, he can absolutely pin Link to the ground in the air or do something with the Force from a distance. Now, Luke's also super quick. He can run 2 kilometers in 2 minutes, which is about 60 miles per hour. That's Spider-Man speed. That's right. Luke Skywalker is officially as fast as Spider-Man if they were to run. That's crazy. He's also incredibly strong. He's able to break free from huge restraints and crush blasters with his bare hands. I'll explain why in a second. Luke can also influence and communicate with people kind of telepathically using Jedi mind tricks and empathy, which lets him sense people's hidden desires, their motivations, kind of like a telepathy, which is really cool. He gets an insight into their minds. And this could be a huge factor because, unlike what Rey said, Link actually has shown to be very susceptible to mind reading and mind control. In The Legend of Zelda Oracle of Ages, Link, encountered a character named Maple who can read his mind briefly when they fight, and that revealed Link's thoughts. In The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess, Link's temporarily telepathically controlled by a character named Zant, and I'm pretty sure Luke would be able to use Jedi mind powers effectively on Link in some way, at least to kind of read what he's up to, his motivations, understand him a lot better, which is going to help him in the fight at the very least. Luke can also create powerful force fields around himself, which can tank blaster fire from, blasters, large vehicles like TIE fighters. He can project a physical image of himself across the galaxy as seen in The Last Jedi. Boy, do I hate myself for using a Last Jedi reference, but I did in this battle. I'm going to throw up later. But that's not all. Luke can enhance himself with that force. Like I told you before, he can make himself stronger, faster, super agile, super durable. In the comic books, Luke gets hit with this crazy powerful flamethrower and just walks away completely unscathed. He survived massive explosions, fallen from great heights, only to get up and keep going. His stamina is also superhuman. Look, I don't know how we're going to compare stamina for Link versus stamina for Luke, but they're both superhuman. I'll absolutely agree on that. By the way, Luke's combat speed is legendary. Definitely legendary in the Star Wars universe, and his accuracy is beyond mastery thanks to the Force. Remember, when he hit that tiny target in the Death Star, that was all thanks to the Force. And Luke's Force abilities don't stop there. There's a lot more. He uses the Force as a warning system, kind of like Spider-Man's Spidey sense. Again, in the comic book series, that's part of canon. Luke says something really cool about the Force. It says it gives him heightened reflexes in battle, makes it have a predictive ability. He says, I'm really good at guessing how the other guy is going to move next. The Force also lets Luke sense everything around him without sight. I guess kind of like how Daredevil kind of sees without seeing. Remember, he's able to navigate around Dagobah with Yoda on his back while he's blindfolded. That's going to help him a lot. Blindfold training, of course, is a big deal in Star Wars. We saw him do that and dodge or shot, block laser fire with his lightsaber. And you need to look no further for a great example of just how powerful Luke's use of the Force is when he took and destroyed 30 dark troopers from the last episode of season 2 of The Mandalorian. That's right, 30 of them. And you got to remember, dark troopers were the most advanced combat, most powerful combat droids the Empire, whatever was left of it, had ever made. And he took on all of them, used his incredible lightsaber skills, and, you know, was crushing them with his Force. And these are, again, dark troopers, insanely powerful. And he did it with 30 of them. It made him look easy while he was doing it all at the same time. So you can bet that Luke's use of the Force is a huge factor in any battle, especially against someone like Link. All of that's my point number one.
All right. Slow down a little bit right here. I think Luke Skywalker is great. You bring up the Force powers. We'll get to that in its own time. First off, congratulations, James. I can tell you really want this one in Star Wars week. You actually researched a video game character and came up with some decent points. I don't agree with them. I don't think Luke Skywalker is possessing anyone, so I don't know why this knowledge is actually helpful to you. But the fact you had it at all, you've turned a corner, James. It only took 17 seasons of the Who Would Win show. Now, you talk about Luke being untrained when he fought Vader and got his hand cut off. This was post-Hoth when he killed that snow beast. This is post-Yoda's training. This is the end of the second movie of the trilogy. What do you mean he was untrained and had no idea what he was doing at that point? He only had about 90 minutes left in his original arc. What are you talking about? And Force powers, yeah, not a ton used in the movies. I know that the comic books and some of the cartoon shows show him using Force powers. I don't watch those. So I will just say, I know him from the movies, and I saw him as a young man not really using a lot of Force powers in his battles, right? He had a big jump up out of the pit with the carbonite. He did that. I've seen him throw and kind of manipulate his lightsaber in the air, and I've seen him get rocked by, like, things being thrown at him by Darth Vader, you know, like boxes and stuff. And then he gets very, very old in the later ones. I've seen him project his image in Last Jedi, but he doesn't really use a lot of Force powers in those battles either. So you got to take it with a grain of salt that if he has them, why does he never seem to use them in live action? It seems a little weird to me. I got more to say, but I've used too much time already. We'll get to it in a bit.
I got
to
agree. It's just so weird how he didn't use the powers properly in The Last Jedi. Almost like as if the writing just wasn't there or the direction. I don't know. Could
obviously
be anything.
That's not it.
Could be anything. Let's see what our judge has to say. Larry, I've heard one point from both Ray and myself. Where's your head at so far with this battle?
So, I mean, it's tough because they've both got very deep, very, very strong toolkits, right? They are both very fast, stamina, excellent with a variety of weapons and abilities. The Force is kind of leaning me a little towards Luke just because of all it can do and all it's done. But Link, you know, still has a lot of things. And being able to potentially see a Force ghost is I think, one of the biggest feathers in Link's cap right now. So I'm still on the fence, but I think some really good points have been made so far.
Excellent. And just to kind of carry off something that Ray said, I don't think a Force ghost coming in or Luke being killed and coming back as a Force ghost, I'm not throwing this in whatsoever. It's a cool thing. It takes way more than 2 minutes for someone to die and come back as a Force ghost. You know, it takes years or what have you. So as Ray said, not something I'm bringing to this battle, because who would use that? Brent Pope, in a weird way. That's all I'm going to say about that. All right. This battle is getting insane and it's only going to go up from here. Stay tuned for point number two.
The next chapter in the New York Times best-selling Last Kids on Earth series is here in The Last Comics on Earth, Too Many Villains. If you didn't know, The Last Kids on Earth is a graphic novel series from authors Max Brallier and Joshua Pruitt, where 13-year-old Jack Sullivan survives the zombie apocalypse in what's been called The Walking Dead meets The Simpsons. Yeah, you get it. It's bright, it's fun, and it's got an art style all its own. It's crazy. Now, in The Last Comics on Earth, our band of heroes are hard at work creating their own sequel, which of course is going to be bigger and crazier than anything ever seen before. I mean, we got supervillains, we got monsters, heck, we got a kaiju with a car head and hamburger feet who's named Steve, Yeah, this book has it all, and it carries the important Who Would Win Show stamp of approval. So if you'd like to check out this new book that also has a spin-off Netflix series, might I add, then let's make it happen. Buy your copy of The Last Comics on Earth in stores today. You can also visit lastkidsonearth.com and learn more.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back. Ray, let's see what you got. Hit us with your point number two.
Point number two, I'm going to talk about some of the gear, because Luke Skywalker has his lightsaber, sure. And that's basically it, right? He doesn't use a whole lot of gear. Whereas Link is sort of the Batman of the Legend of Zelda universe. He has a bazillion gadgets that he's constantly using in new and exciting ways. I mean, first off, let me just say right now, there's the Triforce, right? The Triforce is the central item, ultimate power in the Legend of Zelda universe, and it represents three sides: power, wisdom, and courage. And that would be Ganon is power, Zelda is wisdom, and Link is courage. Link is all about courage and fighting your demons and overcoming them. When the times got tough for Luke, what did he do? He ran away to the farthest arm of the galaxy, and he hid drinking blue milk. One of these two is courageous and sees it through to the end. The other is prone, like most Jedis are, running away when times get their toughest, okay? Now let's talk about the gear, because he has bombs. He has lots of different types of bombs that are powerful enough to bring down giant stone walls. And if you can bring down a giant stone wall, you can bring down a person. Jedis are very powerful, but they cut and bleed and die just as easily. I saw that big arena scene in that one prequel movie. They will go down quick if the matchup is bad. Link also has boomerangs. He has a boomerang that he can throw, and if he hits you with it, coming or going, he stuns you. And how long does he have to stun you for to come over and take a sword to the nose? I would argue not very long. He has more tricks up his sleeve, despite the force powers that Luke seldom uses in his one-on-one battles, just saying. He also has a net, a butterfly net that is so powerful it can slap fireballs away. If Luke at any point tries to shoot him with blaster fire, Link can pull out a butterfly net and slap the blaster fire right back at him again. He also has a bow. It's got to be a magic bow, right? Because it can not only shoot large arrows that can, like, break stones sometimes, he can modify it so he can shoot three arrows at the same time. He could also modify it with elemental force, a fire arrow that is so powerful it once stopped a blizzard from happening when he hit it with the arrow. He has an ice arrow that is so powerful it froze lava. Fresh lava was frozen when he did it. We're talking Sub-Zero for Mortal Kombat stuff here. He hits you with that, you're going to be frozen for 2 minutes and you're not going to be able to do anything. Oh, he could also slap these aforementioned bombs as well and shoot an arrow that even if he misses, area of effect, he takes you down. He has a hammer that he can just walk up to you with and using the claw arm, flip you over like he was in Halo 3 and you were a warthog. He just flips you over, no problem at all, pretty much no matter your size. A hook shot. He has a grappling hook, much like the aforementioned Batman. So when one guy can fly or use a grappling hook to fly around the battle and the other person cannot, the person with the mobility has the advantage. I mentioned fairies before. He keeps fairies in a bottle that, one, he can use to heal himself mid-battle, but two, if he ever falls in battle, the fairy will automatically bring him back to life with some health left. He has a second chance. Luke does not. Also, the super-powered items. He has Pegasus boots, which allow him super speed, allow him to run on swamp water without falling into it. He has a power bracelet, which grants him super strength. That allowed him to pull a tree, uproot a large tree from the ground, throw it, and shattered it into splinters when it hit something. Unbelievable. And also what's going to be very important here, the indestructible Hylian magic shield. He has a shield, like much like Captain America's shield, is virtually indestructible. And when you talk about how is he going to deal with the lightsaber that I'm sure James is about to tell you all about, the answer is the indestructible magic shield. He'll be able to block what he needs to and return fire. But we'll get into more of that in my point number three.
You know, this reminds me of that really cool expression. I'm trying to remember it perfectly, where it's like someone says, if science is so advanced, it'll actually appear like magic, something along those lines. And what's great about this is that Link's definitely got some amazing magical items that help him that he can pull out one at a time or maybe even combine a couple of them. But because it's just, you know, it's not stuff that Luke Skywalker's ever seen, so he's not going to be really blown away by it. Everything Ray just mentioned, as great as it is all stuff that Luke has faced either within the movies, more likely, you know, up to his, you know, where he's his ultimate peak form in The Mandalorian, which is the version of Luke I'm using, by the way, and within the comic book series that are part of the continuity. He's faced off against all of this. Look, how many droids have we seen with these impenetrable shields that, you know, they know how to deal with? And by the way, yeah, a lot of Jedi, you can cut them or what have you. But Luke Skywalker isn't the regular Jedi. He's pretty much the ultimate Jedi. Don't watch The Last Jedi or in the sequels to see that. Just, again, check out The Mandalorian Season 2 last episode, and you'll see what I'm talking about. And in terms of all of this great stuff, you got to remember that Luke Skywalker can do multiple things at the same time with the Force. He can shield himself. He can block something. He can catch something. We've seen laser, you know, a blast being caught midair and stopped or blocked with a hand. This is nothing that Luke hasn't seen a million times before. Oh, look, someone's flying in the air. Cool. Luke's seen jetpacks. Again, the tech within Star Wars is so advanced and so multifaceted, it duplicates everything Link can do, which is great. Unfortunately, Luke Skywalker has already seen it before. Now, let me get to my point number two. Ray, you're right. Let's just dive into Luke Skywalker's lightsaber mastery, shall we? So in the Star Wars universe, it's widely agreed that Luke Skywalker is one of the most skilled, if not the most skilled lightsaber master ever. Not only has he mastered the lightsaber, but he also uses the Force to kind of enhance his physical attributes like speed and agility. And this makes him just even more badass with a lightsaber in his hands. Luke's mastered many forms of lightsaber combat. There's quite a few. It kind of makes him like the Bruce Lee, Muhammad Ali, or even like the James Gavsey of lightsaber users. It's crazy to think about. He's even considered a better lightsaber duelist than Darth Vader. In the Return of the Jedi movie, it's obvious that Luke had grown stronger since his last encounter with Darth Vader, and his skilled lightsaber had improved greatly, as I mentioned before. As they fought in the Emperor's throne room, Luke sensed the advantage shifting to him and just beat freaking Darth Vader in a lightsaber duel. And this was when Luke was in his early 20s. If he was already better than Darth Vader back then, imagine how much better he got over the next 5 to 10 years when we last saw him in the Mandalorian series. Again, that's the version I'm using, not the Last Jedi version, in case I hadn't mentioned that before. In the Star Wars comic book series, that's canon, it's stated that Luke Skywalker is so freaking effective with a lightsaber, he's as effective as up to 20 Jedi Knights at the same time. He's so fast with a lightsaber, he could deflect blaster fire from a company of 128 stormtroopers that surrounded him and were shooting at him all at the same time. So why is Luke so good with a lightsaber? This is kind of interesting. His favorite style is called Form 5, which focuses, it's kind of like economy of motion in combat, centers itself on like being on using parries, offensive attacks. He's not insanely wild. He's not jumping in the air in a huge acrobatic way. It's very similar to Darth Vader style, except he then improved it further and made it a better version of what Darth Vader himself used so effectively. And just in case you're wondering, the lightsaber isn't the only weapon Luke carries around. Ray, you said it, he also has a blaster called the DL-44, which is powerful enough to penetrate armor and take someone out with a single shot. And remember, this is a blaster being shot by Luke, who has superhuman accuracy thanks to the Force. Now, again, I'm not saying Link doesn't have a shield to block this, but again, Luke is a tactical master. He's a strategic master as well as a combat master. This is someone who knows how to distract. Just as we saw when he's taking on the dark troopers in The Mandalorian, he'll make them look one way, distract them with something else, use blaster, whatever he's got to do. He knows how to use a synergistic fighting method to bring it all together to overcome anything. That's why he's Luke Skywalker. That's why he's a badass. And that's my point number two.
Oh, wow. That was a fast one. That's fast for you. Okay. So here's questions that I have to ask right now. Literally, again, I'm just looking at the movies here. And when Luke is at the height of his powers there, when did Luke doesn't win a ton of fights against named characters? It's all, oh, an enormous block of stormtroopers. Who cares? It's a big block of robots. Who cares? When he had his chance to fight Darth Vader, he got his butt handed to him. And then the second time, Vader was so weak at that point and ready to die before the fight even happened. And he had all these thoughts in his head that he really didn't even want to be there anymore. And that's when Luke finally beats him and then gets his butt handed to him by Emperor Palpatine. He needed Vader to stand up and chuck Palpatine over that railing. This is a lot like when Jake Paul is fighting Mike Tyson later this year. He's not fighting prime Mike Tyson. He's fighting at the end, past the end Mike Tyson. That's when Luke Skywalker finally gets his one big 1v1 lightsaber victory. Aside from that, it's all got to happen in comic books where we just invent characters for him to fight because he never did it when the lights were shining during the Super Bowl of Star Wars, the movies. And you talk about in Return of the Jedi, Luke hiding when things went bad. I'll talk about it some more because Link is courage and Luke is hiding. It's exactly what a Jedi would do. Mark Hamill was wrong in that take with Rian Johnson. What happened with Obi-Wan Kenobi when things went bad? He hid. What happened with Yoda when things went bad? He hid on Dagobah away from everybody. Tried to get away from it. When the going gets tough for Jedis, Jedis run away. It made perfect sense for Luke when everything went bad to go hide because both of his Jedi trainer masters pulled the same move.
Oh, sorry, are you done?
I could go on, but I'm using time you didn't in point number two.
That's fair. Listen, the lightsaber speaks for itself. That's why I didn't have to go on. You got to remember there's a lot to Luke Skywalker within novels, comic books, again, stuff that's in canon, part of continuity after Marvel bought Disney. And one of the things I did like that Disney did with Star Wars, I should say, is they really showcased what Luke Skywalker could do when he was in his prime, not on screen, but within comic books and The Mandalorian. I'll leave it at that. All right, Leroy, we are at the turning point. You've had a moment to ponder 2 points for both Ray and myself. Who do you think is ahead? And what does the other side have to do to pull out the victory?
So the two things that are really hanging me up right now is how powerful is Link's shield against a lightsaber and against a blaster? We know it's an incredibly magical shield, as mentioned, but how does it stack up to the lightsaber and to what Luke's bringing? That to me is a big question that I'm pondering as I'm listening. And two, I do agree with Ray that a lot of the stuff we've seen is from the comic books as far as his strength and skills and all these amazing stuff that we're talking about. So I wonder how much the comic book strength is bringing to the character as a whole. How much are we laying into the comic version? Because that does change things as to how much weight that brings to the character in total. Those are the two things I'm really, really cooking in my noodle while I listen.
Well, just for the sake of time for the show, what I will say is that everything the comic books did, or everything that Luke did within the comic books, was showcased by design by what he did in season 2 of The Mandalorian. So if you saw that episode, all of a sudden you're like, wow, I had no idea Luke was this powerful. He is, and a lot of the comic books kind of laid the foundation of that. But in terms of live action, everything you do in comic books was witnessed and experienced in that episode when Luke really came to life to save everyone in that episode. Hope that
Understood.
Makes sense.
Yes,
all
it
right,
does.
Cool. Excellent questions. This is why we love having Leroy Patterson on the show. All right. It's about to get wild. I know Ray's about to bring it. I'm going to do the same. Stay tuned for point number 3.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back. Ray, it's now or never. Hit us with your point number 3.
Point number 3 for Link. You know, first off, I'm going to talk one more moment about the Hylian shield, the magical shield he has, because it will not burn upon contact with fire. That means that it is resistant to heat. And what is a lightsaber but lots and lots of heat? You have a magic shield. Remember, magic shield. So you don't have to worry about physics. Magical systems don't work like that, right? The big thing I want to talk about here is, of course, the Master Sword. The Master Sword is the lightsaber's match in many different ways. It is a magical sword at the highest levels. We're talking Excalibur. We're talking about that level of ridiculousness when it comes to the magic sword. Of course, he can use his magic Master Sword to cut down pieces of terrain around him. Any pot that he sees, he might pick up and throw it, but he could shatter it as well. Monsters that he cleaves in two with the magical sword. Not to mention he uses it on stone pillars and blocks and big old walls that he can carve a path through those with the Master Sword as well. We've seen what happened. Remember when Kylo Ren got mad at a control panel with his big powerful lightsaber and all he did was scratch it up a little bit? He wasn't taking out the entire wall, but that's what Link does with the magical Master Sword. He also can deflect attacks with the Master Sword as well. Somebody was shooting spiked balls at him, and much like the nets and the fireballs, he could use his Master Sword, and he can deflect those attacks and reverse them right back to the person who did it. One time he was holding the Master Sword when it was struck by lightning. Remember what happened when Link was struck by Force lightning in the Emperor's chamber in Return of the Jedi, and he couldn't get up. The lightning kept him on the ground, and he needed outside interference to not die in the moment. Well, Link was holding the Master Sword when it was struck by lightning. And what happened? Link was fine. In fact, the sword just became imbued with more power. It was basically like Mjolnir, Thor's hammer, gets struck by lightning and gets more powerful. That's a huge difference in ability right there. And let's not forget, when Link is at full health, he can shoot blasts of energy with the Master Sword. Also, when Link is very low health, maybe the end of a battle where both of them have taken hits and both of them are feeling low, Link can shoot a blast from the Master Sword and be like, surprise, gotcha, pow. And Luke Skywalker will head to the nearest star system nearby where no one will find him. Because that's what Jedis do when the going gets tough. They're not the heroes they pretend to be. Let's also not forget that while using the Master Sword in combat, I've seen Link jump in the air and strike down while landing on the ground, like every great pro wrestler knows how to do. And he's able to hit one enemy, but then the force of the Master Sword's concussiveness, the shockwave is created that he can knock other enemies around him down just by landing an attack on one enemy. Anybody else he's fighting knocks down. So even if Luke dodges the attack, he will still be shaken and knocked over by a shockwave of force, like a force push, if you will, that Link does without even trying. Not to mention, Link took the Master Sword and used it to destroy a barrier of magical darkness. I would argue that the force is no different than a magic spell. At the end of the day, it's magic become physical. That's what the force is. You could argue that Luke knows like force choke and all this other stuff, but when have we actually seen him use it? The answer is not really. We've seen Luke in all of his major battles, and a little bit of force pushing, sure, a little bit of force manipulation of the area, sure, but usually he's just trying to cut you down with a lightsaber, and he leaves the magic spells and powers for characters like Link to dominate him with. And that's my point number three.
All right, so some interesting stuff you just brought up. So the Hylian Shield's really interesting to me because it's magical and it's durable, but even magic has its limits. And the Hylian Shield kind of represents what I think is like Beskar in the Star Wars universe. If you have a lightsaber touching Beskar, Beskar starts to get red hot and starts to get, you know, it takes a while, but you can burn it. I do think it can take the lightsaber and protect against it at least for a few shots. I kind of look at it like the way we talk about vibranium and how it would do against a lightsaber. So I think it could be good for a few shots. It's not going to protect from a lightsaber for long, though. It's just kind of the way I'm looking at this. You know, the Master Sword's fantastic. I love this aspect about Link. Link's a great character. But here's the big thing. Link's kind of like a jack of all trades, master of none, or really good at a whole lot of trades, but master of very few. He's not a master swords person. This isn't something he walks around. It's not his go-to weapon. It's that bow, which he's really great with. He pulls out this Master Sword. He's not out dueling people. He's kind of smacking things and cutting through things. He's great on the offense. But if he had to duel against someone who's, I don't know, one of the top duelists possibly ever in his respective universe with a lightsaber, he's really going to be out of his realm. He's really not going to have the skill to keep up with Luke Skywalker, who will dodge what he's trying to do and be able to counter and just go on the offensive as well. And you got to remember, too, finally, Luke has kind of got that precog ability. And I keep talking about this, but that last episode of The Mandalorian, Luke Skywalker didn't get touched once as he kind of just literally went through 30 dark troopers that, remember, a couple of them had just messed up the Mandalorian, who is an amazing fighter and has Beskar. He got messed up. And Luke Skywalker just went through him like it was nothing, using the Force, his lightsaber, and not getting touched at all. And just like having a walk in the park experience as he did it. It was fun to watch. It was awesome. And this is really interesting because for my point number three, let's get to it real quick. For my point number three, as I pull it up, let's talk about Link's weaknesses, Luke's strength, and how this battle, I think, is really going to go down. So in terms of weaknesses, Link's got a few which are interesting. And I wouldn't call them weaknesses as opposed to maybe a limitation. So, for example, he fights in limited range. So, you know, while Link, he's highly skilled with some, you know, weapons we talked about before, or at least he knows how to use them, the fact is that most of them are short to mid range. Even his bow has a limited range compared to the weapons in the Star Wars universe that Luke has easily overcome. And all that means is that Luke can fight from afar with the Force, and he can fight from a further range more effectively. They get in close, Luke's great there, and he can fight mid-range with his blaster as well. But at far range, Luke's using the Force. He doesn't even have to be there or use anything. Hand out, just think about it, and he's attacking Link very effectively. Also, Link has a lack of Force powers. I know it sounds obvious, but here's the deal. Link relies on his physical abilities and his magical items, but he doesn't have, you know, telekinesis, nor does he have a real defense against Force powers. And this is a huge factor because, you know, Link can pull out that Hylian shield, and that's great. That could stop the lightsaber for maybe 3 to 4 blows. But Luke's going to be hitting with a lot more. And Luke, all he has to do is Force push the Hylian shield to the side and open up Link. And there he goes, something he did with the Dark Troopers. You know, again, Link also has a reliance on equipment. He has to fight with stuff. Luke Skywalker is great at disarming people. That's what he does with lightsabers, either by disarming them or literally dismembering their arms from their body like he did Darth Vader. So if all of a sudden Luke Skywalker doesn't have his lightsaber or his blaster, he's still a badass and can take people out. But if Link doesn't have his weapons, if somehow he gets disarmed, he's at a huge disadvantage. And that just means Link's got some predictable patterns. Again, with that sword, the Master Sword, which is awesome. You know what we don't see Link do, at least as far as I know, go absolutely crazy ninja style, while he's fighting someone of equal skill. I just mentioned this. He's not fighting someone of equal skill with Luke Skywalker with a sword. He's fighting the best ever possibly from that universe with a lightsaber. He's going to be outclassed within a second to 2 seconds. Now, Luke's biggest strength, well, really, it's his ability to use all of his Force powers, his lightsaber mastery, his combat experience, all of this stuff he can use as like a synergistic fighting style. Again, when Luke is fighting 30 Dark Force battle droids, literally like it was nothing without breaking sweat, it really just revealed that Luke has a level of badassery that we don't even fully understand as of yet. Hopefully we will soon. Remember, this is Luke that is one of the greatest lightsaber duos of all time, one of the most powerful Force users ever in the history of Star Wars. Anyone who could defeat Darth Vader, regardless of what Darth Vader's doing, is someone that's insanely powerful. And again, by the way, side note, Luke also is one of the greatest serial killers of all time. He destroyed the first Darth Death Star, which had, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of people on it, janitors, cooking staff, clean the whole thing. And he's like, nope, kill them all. They're done. Don't feel bad about it. Because when it comes time to killing, he's down for the cause and he's going to go in for the kill. So here's how this fight goes down. Luke's going to, you know, they're going to face off. Link starts shooting his bow from a distance. Luke easily is going to dodge all of that. He's using that precog Force ability plus his agility. Realizing he's facing off against someone who's clearly a capable warrior, Link starts coming at Luke with blasts of different weapons, magic, and he gets in close to start a sword battle because he pulls out the Master Sword. Smart move, you would think, which turns out to be a huge mistake as Luke quickly shows why his lightsaber mastery outdoes anything Link can do with a sword. Barely escaping, Link tries to go for some other type of magical attack or whatever he's going to do to kind of get batter Luke into submission. And that's when he looks up at Luke after firing everything, bombs, whatever he's got, and Luke's actually fine. Luke is smiling because he's enjoying the battle and he realizes who Link is. He's a hero and he's like, got it. I don't think I'm going to kill this guy, but we're going to fight. And after Link exhausts everything he's got, because again, Luke has seen this all before and he's depleted of his stuff, Luke's just going to use the Force during the battle and at the end and pin him to the ground, pin him in the air, or just hold him against something. Link will be defeated. And Luke's just going to walk up to him and say, hey, admit your defeat. let's kind of be friends or let's kind of move on or not. I'll take care of it if you're not going to admit defeat. Either way, the force will be balanced after this fight. That's why Luke Skywalker wins. That's why Link loses. That's my point number three.
Not a chance. Let me just say right here. I'll remind you, the Halayan shield cannot be burned. It's a magic shield that can't be burned. So when you say, oh, it'll take two hits from a lightsaber and burn up, no, it won't. It absolutely will not. And you say, oh, Link's a guy who uses a lot of gadgets and relies on his gadgets to it. You know who else does that, James? Your hero, Batman. And he beats Superman with gadgets. So don't even sit here and tell me like it's not possible. And I have argued here that Link has a great offense with the Master Sword and a great defense with the Halayan Shield. Luke has a great offense with the lightsaber and a great defense with... No, he doesn't. He doesn't have a great defense. I guess his great defense is going to be picking up his hand after the battle is over, after Link cuts it off like he had happen in Empire Strikes Back. Now look, Link goes to the temples and goes to the underground subterranean dwellings of huge monsters and automatons and giant mechanical robot creatures. And he defeats them in their own lairs with everything stacked against him. Luke lost to a Wampa, a not even very powerful monster, took Luke down in Empire Strikes Back. What would Link do against a Wampa? Do you think he would lose that battle regardless of situation? Because I do not. Look, there are two types of heroes in sports and characters. There are those who are there when the lights turn bright, and there are those who are regular season monsters that can't win the big battles. Luke, in all of his movies, when the Super Bowl was happening, when the lights were the brightest, couldn't beat anybody. He beat Vader at the very end of his journey and then got his butt kicked by the next guy in the room. Meanwhile, Link goes to people's houses, destroys their furniture and their clay pots, and they say, thank you, Link. Not a bad word at all, because they know that Link is going to get it done when the lights are brightest, and Luke is going to run away like the Jedi he is when things get tough.
I'm loving this battle. I'm absolutely loving this battle. I can see this battle going really only one way, and that's for Luke Skywalker, but it's not up to me because, Leroy, esteemed judge, you've heard 3 points from both Ray and myself. It's time for you to make a decision, but before we get to what Leroy has to say, let's celebrate the Who Would Win Patron of the Week. Every week, we choose one of our amazing members from the Who Would Win Show's Patreon community and put them in a battle. Ray, which patron do we have today?
We're going back with one of our top patrons out there. We have Saturnix1001. It is your time once again.
This is crazy. That's a name that is just insane to spell or pronounce. You know what? Screw it. It's, Star Wars week, as far as I'm concerned. We're using Luke Skywalker. Let's have him go against, I don't know, the ultimate Star Wars icon, my favorite character from Star Wars, believe it or not. Let's have him face off against Darth Vader.
Darth Vader. I really thought you were going to go Kylo Ren there, because that's what you always do. But we're going to go with Darth Vader versus Saturnix1001. And that's where things are going to get interesting, because Vader's going to be right there. You look at Darth Vader, you're going to get a little bit unnerved. Even if he's end of his journey, Darth Vader, who's ready to lose a hand and die on the ship rather than save himself. Why didn't Luke use the Force? Why is Darth Vader leaning on Luke and having to be carried all the way to the ship after that battle in Return of the Jedi? Why didn't Luke just use his magical Force powers and lift Darth? He could lift giant ships, apparently, and stop them from leaving orbit. He couldn't lift his own dad with the Force? What nonsense. Luke is a master Force user. Get out of here. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make here is that Darth Vader, of course, in this battle, despite being powerful, had just lost to Luke. He had just taken off his helmet, and that's when Saturnix1001 sees him with his own eye, and he just, kicks him in the head and walks away. Kind of an easy battle at that point, much like the version of Vader that Luke finally got over on. Good luck, Jake Paul. Saturnix1001, you win the battle. Nothing to brag about this time. But you did, in fact, get it done. A win over Darth Vader is still a win over Darth Vader. I can't even do it in that, Soul Calibur game. So don't even worry about it. It's tough. It's tough. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Well done. Remember, you too can become a celebrated patron of the week. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and sign up, and you may be featured in an upcoming episode of Who Would Win. Leroy, it's time for your decision. Take us through your process. Tell us a story, if you will, like no one else can do except for you, and reveal who you think wins this battle between Link and Luke Skywalker.
So this is a tough one, right? And that's why we're doing this. That's why we're here, is because we're taking the tough battles and we're figuring them out. So, to me, one of the biggest matchups in this, right? They've got massive skills. They've got massive techniques and abilities. And they've got the gear. And the gear, I feel, is a big part of this because we've got shield versus lightsaber, right? I mean, that's the big, to me, one of the major defining moments of this. You know, we've seen with the Beskar armor, as mentioned, that the lightsaber will eventually cook it. But the shield that we're dealing with here cannot be cooked. So that kind of, but another thing we've got, another matchup, if you will, is telekinesis versus shield. Force pushing a shield out of someone's hand renders it useless. So it's tough because we're dealing with someone, a person with amazing skills and powers and abilities. And we're talking with another person who's got this amazing armory of weaponry and gadgets, right? And they're both incredibly skilled at them. Here's kind of how I feel the fight would go, right? They square up. They're staring each other down, right? It's you know, noon at the OK Corral. They're not even moving yet, and they're still feeling each other out mentally, seeing where each other is, and right. And maybe, you know, maybe since he's full powered, Link uses the Master Sword to fire a blast, and then blam, lightsaber blast it right away. First blow, right? No winner. And then it comes up to the next, you know, maybe Luke shoots out a blaster shot of himself and Link knocks it away with a Master Sword or maybe even the shield. So they're both currently at the same level. They're feeling each other out, right? Because they're both very intelligent is a big part of this. Both intelligent battle people. So I'm seeing maybe Luke comes rushing with the lightsaber and Link uses the hook shot to rip it out of his hand. Blam, he's disarmed. Now, you know, you think, oh my god, he's got the Master Sword, he's got the shield, he's got all this stuff. I feel at that point, Luke goes on the defense and anything thrown at him, be it a bomb, be it a boomerang, be it the Master Sword itself, anything is getting thrown right out of Link's hands and thrown to the wayside. So now you come down to who could get to their weapon faster. Would Link's dive roll be faster than Luke's force pull of the lightsaber back into his hand? Oh, man, it's tough because If I gotta really lay it out, it's disarmed Luke versus disarmed Link. Who wins that one? And I gotta say, Luke is gonna get to his lightsaber faster than Link, and Luke wins it.
And there you have it. Unbelievable. This one surprised me. Ray, you did such a great job of bringing out all of the multifaceted ways that Link can actually win this. And yet, I think our esteemed judge saw what I was trying to put down. Just that, nothing against Link, it's just that Luke's maybe a little bit more versatile and sure-handed, and when he's disarmed, he's still insanely dangerous. This was one of my favorite episodes of all time, not just but because I won, not just because we had a great judge, but mostly because I won. All right, Ray Sicanus, you're also here. Tell the Legion of Audience, our fan base, how you're feeling right now with such a titanic loss.
I feel like I did absolutely enough to win this battle today. I would argue vehemently that Luke Skywalker is more of a sledgehammer in this particular case, and that Link is more of a jack of all trades. Link is actually the guy who has more tools, more ways that he could win the battle, more items in his kit. Meanwhile, Luke is like Hans the Butcher with a sledgehammer, and he's just going to come at you fast and try to hit you very, very hard. Link is going to be able to dodge roll, get out of the way. A force push here, so what? He's dealt with magical wizards and giant monsters that shake the ground before. I think Link absolutely wins this battle. And as the judge in this battle, I do declare that Link won the battle. Thank you.
You're not
the judge, though.
That's what? The thing. You're not the judge. Sorry, Ray.
I don't understand.
Ray, you argued an amazing fight. This made it very, very hard for me. But I think your one shortcoming, your one mistake, and you only made one, but it was
personal
a big
hygiene?
No, because okay. We are doing this remotely, so that does not affect me or my opinion in this one.
It could still be a mistake.
It could be. But that's for everyone over there to decide. For me, it was you kept referring to younger Luke. You kept acting as if young Luke was the one in the fight here, but he's not. We're up against comic book Luke. We're up against Mandalorian Season 2 Luke, which is a very different beast who could have easily bodied, you know, Darth Vader or anyone else that he came up against.
Allegedly,
sure.
I mean, look, we should have gone with older Luke from Last Jedi, who was hiding, drinking blue milk,
clearly,
and got himself destroyed.
The superior
Turned to
Luke.
Dust in that movie. I mean, are we doing young Luke or old Luke? Because I think Link beats both of those iterations.
That's fine, but the judge actually thought otherwise. All right,
and
listen.
As judge, I declare myself the winner. Thank you.
It's very brave.
Someday we'll have Ray on as a judge for the Who Would Win show to figure out who would win, Ray or me. Until then, Leroy, listen.
I accept the challenge.
Leroy, you were fantastic. You were amazing. I was so happy we're on today's episode because, you know, again, just to let everyone know, Luke Skywalker's been on the show, I think, twice. Fought Harry Potter before, another icon. Now he's fought Link, another icon. I think this is just going to be getting better and better, and I think Ray should rep Luke Skywalker next time to give him a chance at losing. Now, here's the deal. Please come back. Be a great judge once more. Until that time, tell the Legion of Audience, our fan base, where they can find you online.
Yeah, I'm on every social media under the sun, either under the Human Tack Board or just Leroy Patterson. Find me, add me, tell me why I'm wrong. Please don't come to my house.
Very cool. And tell Legion of Audience where they can see this film that's coming out.
Yes, The After Dark by Plan 10 Pictures. It's awesome. Tom Devlin directed it. Lots of vampire gore. Lots of kissy-kissy fun times. It'll be July 9th on Tubi, is what I'm told. We'll see if that holds true. But yeah, Tubi, early July, The After Dark. It's great. We've got another movie coming up after that, a month or two later. I can't talk about it, but it's crazy. I'm also in a short called Big Brothers. It's doing the festival circuit here real soon. Next week, I'm going to the premiere. Can't wait for that one. So be on the lookout for something called Big Brothers with a bunch of fat, hairy guys in it. Sneak Kings is our YouTube channel where we go and collect copies of the Burger King game Sneak King. I'm currently up to over 4,000 copies. And look at all the stuff I make for Giphy. You can just search my name on Giphy.com and you'll see a ton of stuff with me mostly shirtless doing stupid stuff.
I love it. I mean, I can't get enough of that. It's absolutely fantastic. Ray Stakanis, another great effort on your part. You came so close to winning, fell a little bit short, but again, you should be very happy with coming in second. Tell the Legion of Audience, our fan base, where they can find you.
I am not thrilled with coming in second. There are many times when I'm perfectly happy coming in second. This is not one of them. Well, you know, we got the master of Giphy, whatever. We've got him right here on the show. Where are the Who Would Win GIFs? Where is me going, bwah? Where is that? Because the people would use it if it was at their disposal. We need Who Would Win animated GIFs. Let's make this happen. Leroy, we'll talk to you after the show to make this happen. And literally, much like Elon Musk buying Twitter, just force it to the top no matter what people put in their little chat boxes. It's just 20 of me every single time, regardless of what you want. I am diverse. I can do that for you. I can give you different emotions. Let's talk. Anyway, the point I want to make here is I did a great job today. I won this battle for Link, and I think the Rainiacs, I think the Awkward Allies have my back on this one. Luke came up short against an elf. Good job, me. You can find me on Threads at AlmightyRay316, and you should. Threads is a dominantly better, more daily active users than some other site I don't know about. And that's all I want to say about that. Come to Threads, AlmightyRay316, and learn about games. That's what I'm going to say. Learn about games. Good job, me.
Good job, Ray. You can find me on X, aka Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by typing in at James Gavsey. Remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and to be part of our growing community. You can also find us on Instagram and TikTok at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you go for your podcasts. On behalf of myself, Ray Stakanis, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win production team, thank you once again for checking out another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time.
Hey,
Hey gang, I hope you enjoyed this episode and love listening to the show as much as we enjoyed making it. Quick reminder that you can support us by going to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Okay, gotta prepare for next week's episode. Hope the rest of your day is full of wins.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Erica.
And I'm Cassandra.
And we're the hosts of Trashy Trashy.
We're a podcast filled with trashy news stories and garbage people.
Did you leave the scene of an accident to go tanning?
Do you refer to wearing the strap down on your Crocs as sports mode?
Have you ordered Domino's online before they even open in the morning?
Are you switching the same AAA batteries from your TV remote to your vibrator instead of just buying more batteries?
Or are you normal?
Check us out wherever you download podcasts.